This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
I don't think I've talked about my 2006 production of Grease that I did at Kansas City Starlight. It was an experience. Kansas City Starlight is this outdoor theater. They have 7,958 seats. Yes, I did look that up this morning because I remembered it as 8,000, and I like to be accurate here on Speaking of Events. And I had done Grease many, many times before this. This might have been my sixth, seventh, eighth production of it. I honestly don't remember. But doing the show for an audience of that size, in that large of a space, on that caliber, takes changes. You have to get your costume colors much more vibrant. Your staging needs to be bigger and spread out. And anytime you speak a line in that big of a stage with that large of an audience, you have to wave your arms first before you speak, as if to say, hey, over here, audience, look at me. And if you are not watching on YouTube and you're just listening, I'm waving my arms while I say that. So we have to let the audience know, hey, look at me, I'm the one speaking. And it's an experience that it's the only choice of this experience is to make it big. And I think my guest today knows something about not only about making things an experience, but also Kansas City Starlight and Grease, because she actually saw me in this production way back in 2006. So I am so pleased to introduce today's guest on Speaking of Events. It is none other than Joan Wells. She is the president of experience at Agio. Welcome, Joan.
Thank you so much. So such a theatrical introduction. I loved it. And I love that our one degree of separation was the performance of Grease. That was awesome. And I can still remember it like it was yesterday.
Yes, you did actually remember what my hair looked like in the show. So that those ponytails really read to those 7,958 people.
That's right. I can remember.
Joan, I'm going to start by asking you what I ask all of my guests on Speaking of Events, which is, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
So the one thing that would change the world and experience as we know it, if everyone knew about events, mainly our clients or people that are producing events, is that our world tends to think of events as this culmination, like you're on this runway and you're going, and then finally everything culminates in the event, and then whoosh, you're done. So it's really different, and that the experience starts when the doors open, the experience ends when you get on the plane or when the doors close. And really what we try to educate people about is events are the midpoint in the conversation. Like, there is a whole conversation or a whole level of engagement that has to happen before the event. And the event is just sort of the midpoint. And then you take that, and then it looks kind of very much like a bell curve of engagement. You take that and you carry it, and there's this post-event engagement that happens after the fact. And so shifting that and helping people think that way would change everything in terms of what we could accomplish through live, virtual, and hybrid experiences.
Absolutely. That's a huge commitment. It is not just, hey, put on this event, create this amazing experience for us. It is also, then is it your responsibility? Is it the event planner's responsibility to then do everything the runway up and then the runway out as well?
Yes. So we do full experience design. So that is, you know, kind of our premise is that, you know, logistics are table stakes. Like, people can find anyone to logistically produce an event or an experience. Really, the strategy, the content development, the design of the whole experience, the messaging, all of those things, the technology builds that support interaction and engagement, that's the package. Like, that's the new world of experience that people have come to expect.
So should we, instead of saying events, we should be saying we create experiences.
Absolutely.
In all facets.
That's exactly right. And we learned that during COVID when, you know, events couldn't happen. And, you know, we had already been talking about experiences and experience design. So when the live in-person gathering couldn't happen, it was a very easy conversation for us to have with our clients of no worries, we're shifting the experience to virtual. That's just the delivery of the content and the sort of like the vessel through which we fulfill your objective. And so it's super easy to do that. Or we shift them to a gifting experience or shift them to, you know, a digital experience. So really having that conversation, people understand as well that they're trying to achieve an objective and the nature of the experience itself can shift and always be adapted.
Absolutely. Were there surprises for you in this big shift in the height of the pandemic? I don't know really where on the pandemic spectrum we are.
Exactly.
It's I hear a lot of different things from a lot of different folks. So wherever you feel you are, what were the surprises that came along for you, especially at the beginning?
Yeah. So one of the things that was super interesting is, you know, in March of 2020, 70% of the live experiences we had on the books went away like that within a week. So you think about that, people are there is that instant realization. We can all remember that week when we all woke up and we were like, this is a really big deal. And so that happened. And that we were able to, like I mentioned, to kind of shift basically all of those plus more to virtual experiences. We produced almost 400 virtual experiences over the course of like kind of that whole pandemic year. But I think the thing that surprised me the most is how virtual has changed our world forever. So like we're talking here now, face-to-face, we're not, you know, this is becoming the new mode of communication. It's virtual meetings and interaction. It's a technology that the entire world adopted at a very fast pace all at the same time. And companies are realizing now that virtual experiences are forever part of their marketing mix. They're not, virtual experiences are not a default that, oh, there's a pandemic, we can't do a live experience, we'll pull out the virtual. It's more like, how do we smartly want to do virtual experiences, hybrid, live? How do we marry all those together for the right mix, for the right audiences at the right times?
It still is to me very exciting about how broad the reach can get. Right. And maybe it was something we needed. Does that creep into your brain, your world at all?
It does. And I hate to say it, but it's something that has positively changed our industry forever in terms of what's possible, in terms of international reach. We've done all kinds of fun things. Like even we've done virtual experiences that were 48 hours of continuous content, you know, with the president of Bitcoin and all these different really interesting speakers, but they might be presenting at 3 a.m. because the bulk of their audience, that's daytime for them at that time. So it makes it unique and interesting to feel like there's more of a globalization of messaging and bringing together a global community.
Absolutely. And who doesn't love to present from their home at 3 a.m.? I've done it. It's not bad. How can I complain? I can go down and get coffee and come up and
you can't say you're busy doing something else.
Right. True. No excuse to get connected, get engaged with my audience for sure. And you know, it's sort of my favorite, speakers are kind of my favorite topic because it's right. My gig. And you've had such a vast experience with creating events for a long time. And what is your fantasy? If it's Joan's world, it's your fantasy. How would every single speaker get ready for an event?
So this is a really good question because every single speaker generally feels confident with their messaging, with their niche, with what they represent, with what they bring to the table. Where there's often a disconnect is if there's not time spent on the front end in brand immersion. So understanding the brand that suddenly the speaker is showing up and representing, they are a representative of the brand when they walk on the stage. Are they talking the same language? Does this brand call their employees or associates? What is on the minds and hearts of the person sitting in the chair in the audience where they can suddenly build an emotional connection where they say, hey, look, I know it's been a rough year for you and you're behind your numbers 10% and you're on the road, 20 days a month. That kind of language and that kind of empathic understanding of the brand and the individual within the brand is a game changer. It's like talk about instantly getting your audience's attention should be something every speaker wants to do.
Absolutely. I also feel that the speaker's performance, the delivery is, that is the midpoint for them too. There is that runway of getting ready and then the after work for the speaker. Do you have any thoughts on the after runway for the speakers, what they should be doing, what you would love to see?
Yeah, the after runway is interesting. I do think it would be so fascinating if, like, in the after work that comes, you think about it, the speaker is usually their role is to be the beginning of the beginning. The event ends and something, there's a call to action, a next shift in momentum, a motivation, let's roll up our sleeves and get down to work type of thing that has to happen internally. And I think when you think about it, if the speaker has already been involved in sort of those steps afterwards, what's going to really drive home the message? Is it small group work? What does it look like? What are the question topics of conversation? And it is kind of cool to do. We've done a lot with virtual events that then happen 6 months later. Small groups are reporting out and the speaker is there kind of as the facilitator of, that's so interesting. Tell me more about that. And what's cool is it continues the common thread that was started probably 6 months before the event. And all really centered around both the combination of the brand and the speaker's message. But the speaker then really is taking kind of an accountability and an ownership of all of the cool things happening within the organization as a result of that engagement.
Yes, yes. And I think you touched on it. I also want to give you an opportunity, if there's anything else, the number one thing you wish speakers did.
So I think I do think that brand immersion is the number one thing that I wish speakers did. I also, it is so critical that their VIP interactions be spot on. Like they have to know the VIP. They need to understand the company executives. They need to understand who was really instrumental in selecting them. And almost some of the background, just the way that they're educated on the brand, be educated on the company executives. So when those interactions happen, that's just as important as what's been said on the stage. And it truly is in terms of building confidence and really, I think, helping the company leadership see the speaker as being part of the strategic and critical messaging that they're about to do. And it seems more cohesive. Usually there is the executive presentations, keynote speaker, more executive presentations. And I know we've all been at events where it feels really disjointed. You feel like there's this executive presentation, maybe there's a whole bunch of slides with numbers. Speaker gets on and presents their normal presentation without any kind of key references to the brand. Executives get back up there and there's not that common thread. But what's really the best is when those VIP interactions happen and then we're able to coach the executives on even mentioning that from the stage. They can be, yes, I was backstage talking to Carrie and she had a lot of questions about our future. And, you know, have we really thought deeply about this, this, and this? And, you know, it's something we're going to be taking a look at. So it feels like it's joint collaboration.
Yes. Every audience member wants a story, even if we're hearing from different parties, internal, external, and what a great way to be able to have that beginning, middle, and end. So I'm a huge proponent of that. Thank you. And speaking of stories, your story, you have a powerful entrepreneurial journey to where you are today with Agio. Would you talk a little bit, take us back a little bit and tell us how you got here?
Absolutely. I am probably one of the luckiest women in the world. I started my own company when I was 23. It was a really interesting journey that I was so intrigued by events. And this was back in the day when, you know, actually event planning was considered one of the top, 10 careers of what people were looking to do. And I thought, you know, I could start a company doing that and really transition events from just being about logistics to being about strategy and creative and really sort of meshing those together. So that was kind of the premise. And then in 1994, I took on a partner and we formally launched Wellington. And we grew that business every year but one over 27 years. And during COVID, we, as I mentioned, because we were always innovative, always thinking what's next, whether it be production, technology, all the different layers of engagement. We founded a gifting division as part of our company in 2001. And when it got up to 2020, and COVID, we were able to pivot and we were actually able to grow the business in 2020 over 2019, which is pretty unheard of in the events industry. And we caught the attention of Augeo and we partnered together on a client project together. And we realized our goal had been for the 4 years prior, we had been looking at acquisition opportunities, the opportunity of being acquired in a way that would set up our team for exponential growth, exponential success, not just the 20% a year continued growth, but really exponentially what that could do. So Augeo acquired us in February 1st of 2021. We grew 250% last year. So it's a crazy ride. It's good. We have so much on the horizon in terms of thought leadership in the event space, how we are innovating, utilizing and leveraging technology and strategy and production and experience design and learning environments, all kinds of things that this is kind of a dream come true for an entrepreneur to end up being part of an organization that's propelling success and then celebrating an entrepreneurial mindset amongst its people.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is your journey is kind of a fantasy of mine. And I, so ovations in year 11. So it's so exciting and inspiring. Thank you so much.
Congrats
for sharing
to
that.
You. It's funny. It's like how COVID is a part of that journey. But COVID was a tipping point that really tested our resilience and versatility and adaptability and really brought us together with Augeo. We would not have found each other had that not happened. And so I'm sure you see the same thing. It's like the worst things that happen to you are sometimes the best in the long run, especially when it comes to professional journeys.
Yes, absolutely. And who was there to support you? Are you either with Wellington or now, were there organizations or groups that as an entrepreneur, as you, lady boss, that you were part of that you found supportive?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I co-founded a group in 1995 of 15 women. We were all entrepreneurs and we served as each other's confidential advisory boards. We met once a month for a full day and went deep, helped each other solve business problems.
Yes.
Through the years, we became personal friends. To this day, many of them are retired. I am not, as well as a few others. And we travel together and that was a huge support. So I really think going deep with a small group of people that you know and trust is a great tool. And I sort of was able to do that internally. We have an incredible leadership team within the experience division of Augeo. And then Augeo has this incredible leadership team where you can have those kinds of tough conversations and know that people are going to be honest with you in terms of their recommendations and their viewpoints. And I really value that.
Yes. So important when you're to have outside voices when you're and trusted confidants when you're making tough decisions and navigating so much of so many of the unknowns and things that need to be navigated. I think it's always important for people to find that group. So
yes.
Wonderful.
No,
and
yeah.
You started it. Of course, yeah. I'm not surprised, but you started it, right?
And there's another, I'm in a group called Women Who Mean Business. They have it in other cities across the country. There's 450 of us in Kansas City who are in this group.
Wow.
And once a year, about 120 of us go to a resort in Mexico. And it is to engage and be able to have these kinds of conversations and topics in a casual way to sort of advance each other, all of each other's organizations that we represent. And that's a really cool one. I really enjoy that. And as well as I do a lot of civic things within Kansas City and in our area that just a lot of commitment geographically to our roots here too.
Yes. Wonderful. You're also very much a part of and do a lot of work with the Kauffman Foundation. We all would love to hear more about that if you'd like to share.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. The Kauffman Foundation had been a client of ours since 1994. We really have a soft spot for organizations that support entrepreneurs. And especially as well, I'm going beyond that and say foundations in general that are looking to reduce inequities in healthcare, education, entrepreneurship. Kauffman Foundation, they're all about two sides we work with at the Kauffman Foundation. They're all about, you know, reimagining education on one side. And then the other is, you know, eliminating barriers and obstacles for entrepreneurs so that mayors and cities and communities start to see entrepreneurship as a solution to economic development and to solving a lot of society's problems. And entrepreneurship startup rates have been decreasing consistently over at least more than a decade, maybe more, which is really unfortunate. We are a country, you would think, of entrepreneurs, of self-starters. And so really trying to dig deep and figure out how to create engagements, events, and things like that, that foster those startups is really important.
Wow. Congrats on that as well.
Yeah.
What's on the horizon? What are you looking forward to right now?
Yeah. So, we are doing a lot with leveraging technology, and I love that. It's crazy. It's like I have to keep pinching myself, you know, with Augeo, this technology powerhouse and what they have the ability to do, both with their platform technologies, nimble technologies. Every time we're designing a solution for a client, you know, I used to have to think, okay, now who am I going to go partner with to make this happen? Instead, it's like, who do we pick up the phone and call with an Augeo that we can make this happen? Clients are wanting to leverage technology to learn more about it. Every single one of their attendees before they walk in the door. They want to have a robust profile on every person. So it's not just we're having all these people come to an event and we survey them afterwards and then we know what they're thinking. It's really understanding and segmenting what they're thinking in advance, feeding up a lot of interactivity, connecting them based on profiles to other attendees in meaningful ways prior to the event through virtual platforms and virtual means, and then designing and delivering content to what they care about. And so as a speaker, if you can imagine how that would be so great for you if someone came to you and said, hey, I need you to present to these Ford Motor Company customers, but here's what they care about. Here's what they're hoping to learn. Here's you know, sort of what they've been through and what's on their mind right now in other areas outside of what we're here to talk about today. That would be invaluable to you in terms of how you would edit your presentation.
Then every speaker would have your fantasy prep. They would do it for you.
Exactly right. Exactly. Because you can only prep as much as the information you get. And the other thing we love is, you know, really a lot of interactive technology. From a speaker perspective, we have some that are more, you know, pro this versus others of like, you know, you're in the middle of the presentation. We're like, let's do a word cloud of what everybody's thinking right now. What word resonates with you most so far from the presentation? Or taking, you know, quick polls and surveys about, you know, specific interesting ideas that were just raised by the speaker. And then the speaker can look at that. It's coming up live and be able to sort of pivot and lean into that. But that, I think, is the future because people love to see other people in either uncomfortable situations or impromptu situations that they had a voice in. That's sort of like, I think, the new future is everybody wants their voice heard all the time.
Yes. Everybody wants to be seen, heard, involved. Absolutely. And that sounds really cool. I would be all up for not only training any speaker to get comfortable with that or doing it myself, just throwing my hat in the ring for that. Yes. Joan, if I had a word cloud behind me, that was my brain, it would be inspired. This has been so inspiring. Great. What would you say to the next generation of up and coming experienced professionals? We've got younger people, they're excited about getting into this industry in some way, whatever way that is. What would you say to them?
That's so interesting. I think that the number one thing is that the industry itself is at a crossroads. And so if people are just entering the industry, that's super exciting because they don't bring any past preconceived notions or baggage such as, oh, virtual events are going to go away, or I'm going to just focus on logistics and let someone else do strategy. It's like, those are things that aren't going to be part of the future. So it's bringing on a generation that I think understands how intertwined the blend is between marketing, strategy, production, technology, logistics, content. It's all one thing. And as the event and experience professional, you have to own that. You own that and you drive that with your client.
There's a lot to dig into. It's such an exciting time and many opportunities. And I love to see the resurgence and the changes that have been going on in the industry, particularly in the past couple of years. And you have been a spearhead in front of the line for that. So that is very exciting. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that vision. Are you ready, Joan Wells, to go through our lightning express round?
Okay, I'm ready. Hit me.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, here we go. I'm going to put 45 seconds on the clock. I'm going to ask you 7 questions. Here we go. What is your favorite moment in the experience process?
The concept phase.
Ooh, I love it. Who do you consider your mentor?
That's a hard one. I'd say I would go back to that group of women that, you know, give them all the kudos for that.
Yes.
We called it the executive exchange group.
Love the, yes, executive exchange women. Absolutely. Okay. Take a deep breath. Chiefs, Royals, or Ruse?
Oh, Chiefs, hands down. I am a brand new season ticket holder. I'm one of the people you see on the lower level, all in red, that's standing the whole time, you know, that's like, yes.
That was so easy for you. Okay, that's great. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Ooh, okay, workout. That's it. That's my happy place. Yes. Yoga, weights, running. Like if I have to have a release to do that, to be my best self. And I drink a lot of coffee. Anyone that knows me knows probably 10 cups a day. It's about my thing.
Wow. Oh, that might be more than me. That's pretty impressive. Okay. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I wasn't talking to you right now. I would be probably in a meeting.
Okay. Fair. And this might be the toughest of them all. Are you ready?
Yep.
Arthur Bryant or somewhere else? What is the best, or Gates, right? Those are the big two, Arthur Bryant or Gates.
Okay, so this, Kansas Cityans are super sensitive about barbecue. So my all-time favorite barbecue is Jack Stack. The burn-in was invented in Kansas City. It's like, it's a thing. And so Jack Stack's my fave. Arthur Bryant's, I mean, for a sliced brisket sandwich, Arthur Bryant's. If you've watched the Queer Eye episode that focuses on Kansas City, they focus on these two female entrepreneurs, the Jones sisters, Jones Barbecue. It's a great, the story behind it is insanely incredible. Casey Joe's for their dry rub. I mean, I can go on and on. It's like, with strong opinions and you can't pick just one.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. Fair. I'm excited to come back at some point. And final question, what is the best way to take care of an experienced professional?
So, I interview everybody that ends up working in the division. And the thing I do tell them is that, being an experienced event professional is ranked number 4 of most stressful professions, right in front of firefighters. So it is a stressful role. So the important thing is to, to understand that going in, and to always figure out how to be on the controlled front end of that, and how to take care of yourself, and how to really have a very nice work-life blend that you're going to show up every day as the best possible version of yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You have made it through the Lightning Express round. Thank you, Joan. If people would like to connect with you, and I hope they do, where can people find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn, Joan Wells at Algeo. And also you can put my email in the show notes, jwells@algeomarketing.com. I would love to start a conversation with any one of your listeners.
Reach out. connect, have an experience. This has been an experience I won't soon forget. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me on Speaking of Events. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Sounds great.
And remember to my fair listeners, if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast and rate us. Give us 5 stars. Come on, you can do it. Joan is worth it. Joan is worth at least 5 stars. Let's do it. Let's do it. Thank you again. You've really put me in a great mood for the rest of my day. I appreciate it. And remember to keep speaking no matter what you speak about. Remember to be speaking of events.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.